Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. And as always, thank you for joining me again. I really appreciate that. If you are listening for the first time, that's wonderful. Welcome. I'm so happy that you found us. I'm so happy that you're here. As I mentioned in the first half of this episode, we are looking at the lectionary text assigned for this week, the week of July 24th, 2016. And the lectionary texts, as always, just as a reminder, are divided into readings from the Old Testament, the Psalms, the New Testament, and one of the Gospels. This episode is split into two parts, and in the second part, we'll be talking about the New Testament readings from Colossians 2 and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. All of the texts for this week, both Old Testament and New Testament, deal in various ways, I think, with hospitality, with persistence in our relationship with God, with forgiveness. And in this week's text from the Gospel of Luke, the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, and Jesus teaches them a version of what many of us know now as the Lord's Prayer. And if you're like me, you've had it memorized most of your life, and if you're like me, you might not even think much about what you're saying half the time when you're praying the Lord's Prayer. I sometimes just find myself in the habit of saying the words and not really thinking about them. But it really is quite a bold way to speak to God. And we'll explore that a little bit more further in this episode. But first, we do have to take a break. I am excited to get started with you. But first, we will take that quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this week's text from Colossians chapter 2. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. The first text we'll be discussing today is from the second chapter of Colossians, verses 6 through 19. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in Him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Him. When He forgave all of our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. And again, that is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 19. And we continue to get deeper into the body of this letter from Paul and Timothy to the church in Colossae. We have been talking about this for, this is the third week we've been talking about this letter to the Colossians. And so just as a recap of those 3 weeks, the first week was the introduction, giving us the basic facts about the letter, that it was written by Paul and Timothy to the community in Colossae, that Paul had never actually been there, but he still wanted to encourage this group in their new church and their lives of faith. Last week, the letter rooted the Colossian church and its members in Christ, and Paul reminded them of who Christ is and what his promises, life, death, and resurrection mean to them as a people of faith, and how being in Christ affects their lives as people of faith. So this week, now we're moving further into the body of the letter. We're in chapter 2 now. And we're starting to see some of the issues that Paul wants to address with this young church. Because, of course, all the letters that Paul writes try to address some issue that is going on in the church that he's writing to. So this is a bit of a transitional section as Paul is still writing of what it means to be a church rooted in Christ and moving toward how that foundation should help them to build strong lives of faith. And I'm going to be honest with you. Because I always try to be honest with you in this podcast. This section, I find it a little difficult to wade through and interpret. Sometimes when Paul writes, sometimes when I'm reading Paul's letters, it just feels like there's so many run-on sentences, and I get bogged down in trying to wade through all of that and figure out what he's writing about and kind of, you know, wade through just words. There's so many words sometimes. It's difficult for me. And so I'm always personally grateful to the commentators who are a lot smarter than I and who can help me sort through sections like this. That's why I always talk about commentaries. So it's not just me that you're getting this from. You're getting my interpretation, but you're also getting people who are much smarter than me, who have a lot more experience than I have, and that I can share with you. And hopefully then we can understand more together. We can grow in the Word together. Hopefully I can also sort through some of these commentaries and do an okay job of studying this passage with you today so that you don't come out of this podcast more confused than when you came in. So bear with me. I'm going to give it a shot. Now, the same commentator I've been referring to for the past 2 weeks once again gives us some insight into this section, and that commentator is Brian J. Walsh, who's the Christian Reformed Campus Minister at the University of Toronto. And Pastor Walsh writes, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up and in him and established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving." And of course, that's Colossians 2, 6 and 7. "Live or walk in Christ, abounding or overflowing in thanksgiving." Here, he says, is the dynamism of discipleship, the constant movement toward the kingdom. Yet we are also to be rooted like a tree, built up like a secure structure with an established faith of some settled certainty. If all we have is the dynamism of faith without deep roots and foundations, then we have no stability or fidelity to our lives. If all we have is roots and foundations without dynamism and change, then we are caught in the quagmires of conservatism. So he's writing that both of these are necessary, that we have to be rooted and grounded, have a strong foundation, but that we can't fear change and these dynamics of faith, that we can't just stay rooted in that one spot. We have to continue to grow, to move toward God, to move toward a deeper relationship with God, with Christ. And so when we get to chapter 3, it's going to give us more about bringing the community more deeply into questions of how they are to live their lives in Christ. The remainder of chapter 2 is concerned about the possible eroding of the foundations, the losing touch with the roots of their faith. As our author puts it, not holding fast to the head, who is Christ. And that's Colossians 2, verse 19, the head. And I think this is something that we can remember in our own daily lives as well, not just this this church 2,000 years ago. It does us some good too, because how often do we let the world around us erode the foundations that we have that are rooted in our faith? it's easy, I think, to get caught up in what the world would have us believe. And I talked a little bit about this in the first half of this episode. It's easy to do what is easy because that's what the world tells us we should be doing. It's easy to go along with things because we don't want to be out of step with current culture and society. Because, after all, being a follower of Christ, being a believer in God, does, in fact, put us out of step with a lot of society. Being a follower of Christ, being a believer in God, tells us to love when society might tell us to hate. Being a believer tells us to give what society would tell us to hoard. To live in community and relationship with our brothers and sisters when society might try to convince us that the world is made up of us and them. So being out of step isn't easy. Sometimes it's easy. We just want to go with the flow. We just want to go with what everyone else is doing. We want for things to be easy, to not always be so hard. Sometimes we just want to fit in, right? Thankfully, though, when we have a strong foundation in Christ, we are rooted in the promises and the covenants that God has made with us. We are always in those promises and those covenants, strengthening our relationship with God. And so Paul is trying to remind the Colossians of this foundation, of this rootedness, as they struggle to find their place in society and in this new church that they're a part of. Paul reminds them at the very beginning that they are in Christ. And this is no small thing. I mean, this is a true and strong foundation on which to stand while they continue to figure things out, while they continue to struggle with how their new reality, how their lives in this new church, this new faith, might differ from the one that they've been accustomed to for their entire lives. And this theme is carried out in another commentary that I read this week, this time from a pastor named Carl Jacobson. And he writes that the tension in Colossians lies in what the governing influence is in one's life is. What is the governing influence in your life? Colossians 2 exhorts us to remain steadfast in the gospel which we have been taught. Will we pursue an imaginary renewed cultural relevancy through a reimagining of Jesus? So he's asking, are we going to change Jesus to fit our society, or are we going to stay rooted in the Jesus that we know through the Gospels? Will we continue to live our lives, build our churches, and make our proclamation as we have received it, rooted, built up, established in the faith of Christ Jesus, in whom the whole fullness of God dwells, and in whom we too have our fullness? Again, we have to decide where to place our faith, where to place our trust, and to decide what is going to have the most influence in our lives. Is it going to be the prevailing ideologies of the culture around us? Or is it going to be our relationship with God through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ? And I want to speak more with you about this, but we do have to take a quick break. So stay tuned, and when we come back, we'll be talking more about this text from Colossians. So again, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about this text from Colossians, the second chapter of Colossians, and the question of where do we root our faith? Where do we place our trust? And as I said before, I was reading commentaries this week trying to help get my own thoughts in order about this text from Paul. And another commentary that I read was from a professor of New Testament at Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. His name is Richard Carlson. And Professor Carlson writes, What is most important to realize when dealing with this passage in particular, though it also applies to much of Colossians, is that this author is writing to warn his audience about the false teachings of some who claim that in order to be in full relationship with God, one needs to have mystical visions and ecstatic experiences as they have had. Thus, the author is opposing those who see themselves as being on a higher spiritual plane or are more fully with God because of their visionary experiences. This is more specific to Paul's letter and the context of what the church in Colossae was struggling with. Paul is writing about specific things, and these people saying that in order to have a better relationship, you have to do it like we do it. We've had these mystical experiences, we've had these visions, and our spirituality then has been stronger and fuller. And so Paul is writing about this question, this issue. And I think this happens to us as well. We can apply it to our own lives as well, because there's always something in popular culture that people are going to try to convince us is more important or more effective or better than a strong foundation in Christ. Spiritual fads come and go, and I'm not saying that spiritual fads are bad. Some of them can dovetail quite nicely with our own spiritual lives as they are rooted in the gospel and our relationship with God. Spirituality and spiritual practices aren't bad, but they shouldn't take the place of our relationship with God. I think this is what Paul is partially addressing here, is that the society around this church in Colossae is saying, you need to do things this way because we think it's better. And Paul is saying, no, all you need to do is be rooted in your faith, be rooted in the gospel of Christ. So our foundation is in God. It's rooted in Christ. And our spiritual lives and practices should always be an extension of that foundation and that rootedness, rather than taking the place of them. They can still exist, but they cannot take the place of that foundation in Christ, our relationship with God. The foundation, then, I think, is what gives us the ability to bring our entire selves to our relationship with God. And we've been talking about that a lot this week, is the bringing our entire selves to God, whether in prayer or conversation or worship, etc. This is what enables us to be in conversation with God, as Abraham was in this week's text from Genesis, if you listen to the first half of this episode, or to pray in thanksgiving and petition along with the psalmist in Psalm 138, or even to pray as boldly as Jesus teaches his disciples to pray in this week's gospel from Luke, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. But I think when I look at this text, when I wade through everything that Paul writes, and sometimes, you know, you get bogged down in all of his talk about the flesh and circumcision and spiritual circumcision and those things, what it comes down to for me is this foundation in the gospel, this foundation in the Word of God and Christ, our relationship with God through Christ. This doesn't mean that we have to ignore the world around us. This doesn't mean that we can't be involved in spiritual practices of the world around us, because there's always things that help us to grow. Remember, it was talking about the dynamism of faith that one commentator was talking about. We have to continue to grow. We have to continue to find new ways to connect with God, to understand God, to study God's Word. But only if we are rooted in God's Word and in our relationship with Christ, then we can have that solid, firm foundation and also grow in our faith and still be a part of the world around us, still be a part of those things. As long as those things, those spiritual practices, those spiritual fads, whatever you want to call them, don't take the place of our relationship with Christ. And so I do now want to turn to our text from the Gospel of Luke. And this text is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 11. And it says, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Jesus said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And Jesus said to them, Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel reading for this week. Again, it's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And if you joined me last week, we did. I ended that podcast by encouraging you and myself, by encouraging us to take some time out of our daily lives just to listen, to simply sit and listen. Listen for God, listen to God, be in relationship with God by listening. And so last week there was space to listen for God in our lives. And this week we get examples of the way in which God listens to us. All of the texts, I think, involve ways that God listens to us. This week's text from the Gospel of Luke appears in a series of texts dealing with God, with love of God and love of neighbor. And again, I've been saying this every week. This is part of a series of texts where Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem. In the Gospel of Luke, he only goes to Jerusalem once, and that is at the end of his life. So he knows that this is a very important part of his ministry. He knows what will happen once he reaches Jerusalem. And so he's trying to impart as much of his knowledge, of his teaching, of his ministry to his disciples as he possibly can. And so there's these larger there's these underlying stories of hospitality, of ministry, etc., in this journey toward Jerusalem. Last week, if you joined us, Jesus was both guest and host in that text. And this week continues looking at our relationship with God. What kind of relationship can those who love God expect from God? And so this text opens with Jesus in prayer. And then when he's done praying, the disciples come to him and ask, teach us how to pray. They say, as John did. And so that's John the Baptist, who, you know, apparently had taught his disciples a certain way of praying. And now Jesus's disciples are saying, we've got Jesus here. We need to find out the best way to pray. So we should ask him while we can. And Jesus has given them instructions on so many other things. And now they're wanting to know the right way to pray, the best way to be in relationship with God through prayer. So we get the Lord's Prayer, and it's slightly different from the version that we hear in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. That's the version that we're probably, depending on your tradition, depending on your denomination, the version that most of us are more familiar with. But the basic elements are there. It begins by addressing God intimately as Father. And the word actually in Aramaic is Abba, Daddy. So we're saying, hi, Dad. Hello, Daddy. Coming to you in prayer. So it begins intimately by addressing God as Father, as Daddy, but then speaks of God in the ultimate sense by hallowing God's name. So there's a tension between these two. The space between seems to indicate that God is so much bigger than we could possibly ever imagine or describe, and yet Jesus encourages us to refer to God intimately as we might refer to a parent. And we're going to continue talking about the Lord's Prayer, but we do have to take one more quick break. And when we come back, then again, we'll be talking more about Jesus teaching the disciples to pray and this story that he teaches them as an example of how to pray. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. Before the break, again, we were talking about Luke chapter 11 and the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray. And the beginning of this prayer that Jesus teaches them addresses God both intimately and in the ultimate sense, hallowing God's name. And then there's a plea for God's kingdom to arrive. I mean, this prayer just jumps right in there with, you know, there's not a lot of flowery language. It's just address God intimately, but hallow God's name. And then, you know, we ask God for God's kingdom to arrive. And then the petitions are very basic for the everyday needs in life. You know, give us what we need, etc. And imagine the world we would have and live in if these petitions were fully in place right now in that world. This is the prayer that Jesus is encouraging his disciples and us to pray. When we ask for God's kingdom to arrive, that's what we are asking for. For the world where those petitions are met, where our basic needs are met, where God's kingdom, where the promises of God have been fulfilled, is here now. And that's what we are asking. And so then Jesus gives this example of asking a neighbor for bread for an unexpected guest. And so again, we have issues of hospitality. This has been a theme through a lot of our texts the last few weeks. So Jesus says you go one night, somebody comes, a guest comes in the middle of the night, you don't have anything to give them. So you go to your neighbor and you knock on the door and say, can you please give me some bread? I've had an unexpected guest arrive. And the neighbor from inside the house says, no, I'm already in bed. The family's already in bed. We're not going to get up to give you this. And Jesus says that the neighbor might not help you out of friendship or neighborliness, but will give in if you are persistent. So if you keep standing there, pounding on the neighbor's door, waking up the kids, he's going to finally say, fine, here's some bread. Just leave me alone. And maybe the disciples were looking a bit perplexed at the boldness and the grandness of the prayer that Jesus has just taught them, because it's a prayer that does ask for God's kingdom to be present now. It brings together the universal and the local or the personal. And so they might have been wondering if it's in fact too much for the average person to pray, if this is too much for the average person to ask for God. After all, we might ask, who are we to plead with God for God's kingdom to be present here in our midst, in addition to all of the personal everyday needs requested in the Lord's Prayer? They may have been looking puzzled. We're not sure, but Jesus follows up teaching them this prayer with this story of persistence. And Jesus' story with this example of this persistent friend invites us to be persistent in our prayers to God. And we saw that some, remember, in the Genesis reading for this week, where Abraham was persistent and kept pushing back in his conversation with God. So what Jesus teaches in this lesson is that we as followers must ask for what we seek. More than this, we must be unrelenting in our asking, unembarrassed in our seeking. We must bring our whole selves to God. For a good example of this, again, we look back to that Old Testament lesson from Genesis, where Abraham was in conversation with God, where he was pushing back on God, and he kept saying, well, what if there are, if you didn't tune into the first half of this episode, Abraham is talking about the destruction of Sodom, and he keeps saying to God, well, what if there are 50 righteous people? Will you relent then? And God says, yes, I won't destroy it if there are 50 righteous people. And Abraham keeps pushing back. What if there's 45, 40, 30, etc.? He keeps whittling down that number. And this is persistence. Now, it's amazing because it's amazing, first of all, that God has told his plan to Abraham. And then it's amazing that Abraham feels comfortable in his relationship with God in order to say, but what if this happens? Abraham is persistent in what he asks for. He's respectful, but he's also extremely gutsy to continue to ask God, well, what about if there's only this many people? What then? Abraham persists and continues in this conversation with God, and Abraham is bold in his asking. He's unrelenting and unembarrassed to plead his case before God, and we see God responding in a positive and loving way. And so from these two texts, I think that we can see that God does in fact want to be in relationship with us. God wants us to be in communication, and God tells us to ask and we shall receive, to seek and we shall find, to knock and the door on which we knock will be opened. It's a hope-filled message of love, and it's one of the easiest and the hardest texts to take to heart. It's simple enough, it's easy enough. We are to ask, and whatever we ask will be granted. It's a lesson in persistence and boldness when it comes to our prayers. So that's the easy part, but what about what we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now, when the things that we ask for, we don't receive, when God's timing is not our timing, when God's plan is not our plan? The fancy word for this is theodicy. Theodicy just means how God works in our everyday lives. And I saw this a lot when I was doing my chaplaincy training in seminary. I was a chaplain at Children's Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, and I was on two floors, a general peds floor, pediatric floor, and then the post-op cardiac floor. So when the kids who'd had open heart surgery were done in ICU, they'd come up to the regular cardiac floor. So I had a lot of families who were dealing with a lot of really serious health issues. And I had many conversations with people who wanted to know, is God answering my prayers? Is God listening? I'm being persistent in asking for my child to be healed, but I don't know if God is listening. And, you know, it's hard to have those conversations because obviously, of course, parents are going to want their child to be healed. They're going to ask God to be with their child during these times. And it was frustrating for me to hear people question whether they should have prayed harder or done something different so that God maybe would have granted their request. You know, maybe things weren't going as well as they'd hoped. And so they're wondering, am I doing something wrong? Am I not being persistent enough? And I could only keep repeating to them what I believe so firmly, that God loves each and every one of us, that God grieves with us when bad things happen in our lives, that the world is a place that involves imperfect people who make imperfect choices, and the world around us affects us in so many ways that we cannot always see the bigger picture, that God doesn't want us to suffer, that God doesn't want us to grieve. It's similar to that question of wondering why good things happen to bad people and why bad things happen to good people. And the question is, well, we don't know. And I know that's kind of an unsatisfactory answer, but that's what we don't have all of the answers. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I don't even think I have some of the answers. But the Lord's Prayer is helpful because we address God as everything from the intimate to the ultimate and everything in between. God is beyond our human understanding. We cannot possibly know all of the answers, and yet we get glimpses through Bible texts and examples from everyday lives. The Old Testament text from Genesis shows us that God is merciful. God responds to Abraham out of love. And then the gospel tells us to ask and be persistent in our requests. And as I was reading through my notes from other times that I've talked about this text, I saw a section where I talked about the movie Evan Almighty. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a line in there where God says, if someone prays for patience, do you think God gives them patience or the opportunity to be patient? and then also uses courage as an example. And it doesn't answer all of my questions. It still makes me wonder about God creating situations in which we can be patient or courageous. And, you know, why is God creating that situation? Is the world around me creating that situation, etc.? But it does remind me that our prayers are not always answered in the way we anticipate, but that they are always answered. God encourages us to come to God in prayer and to be bold in our praying, to bring our entire selves to that prayer. And God responds to us out of love and mercy. I, of course, don't have all the answers. I don't have some of them, for that matter. But what I do know, and what this week's texts helped to remind me of, is that God's love for us is more than any of us could ever imagine, and that God wants to be in relationship with us. So last week, as I ended the podcast, I encouraged all of us to take time out to listen to and for God. And this week, God is returning the favor. God is saying, ask me, bring your prayers to me. I am here. I will listen. Letting us know that God will listen to us no matter what we ask for. Whether or not God's plan and God's timing is the same as ours, God still says, come to me with all of your prayers, all of yourselves, everything in your life. We just need to seek God out, to be in relationship with God, and be persistent in our asking and our seeking. The answers that we receive might not be the ones that we're searching for exactly, but we're encouraged to keep asking. I encourage you to keep asking, keep going to God in prayer, even when it feels like God isn't listening, because God is listening. And you never know, we just might be pleasantly surprised at the answers when they do come. And that is, unfortunately, all of the time that we have for this week's episode. Thank you again for joining me. Join me again on Saturday when we cover the Old Testament text from the lectionary cycle for next week, for the week of July 31st. Those texts are from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2 and Psalm 49. As always, you know I'm going to remind you, remember that you can find all of the Golden State Media Concepts podcasts. We have 19 of them, so if you're interested in other topics, I'm sure you can find something else that you'd want to listen to. You can find all of those at www.gsmcpodcast.com. If you want to download the podcasts, you can download them on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and any app that you have for podcasts on your mobile device. And you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook, just look for Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, Tumblr, GSMC-Bible Study, and then Twitter and Instagram are GSMC_Bible Study. So you can find us on social media. Thank you again for joining me. Thank you, and remember, as I always say every week, remember that you are a beloved child of God.